Yeah. Do you know that you don't have to open your mouth and you can share God's word? And we're going to learn that today. You know, I did a whole lot of studying this week. People can see Jesus, and you're going to see it, and you can know it because of this. These aren't just stories. Where is she? They're not just stories. This woman's been here for a couple of years, and she says, you know, when you said stories and you changed that to account, it makes a difference. This isn't Mike Mulligan and his steam shovel. It's not Jack and Jill. It's true living accounts that actually took place. And we learn from the testimonies of others, and we can apply them to our lives. And I really, really hope that today you're going to take these story accounts and you're going to ask the question, what would I do if? I mean, I don't think we're going to find ourselves in the predicaments I'm going to be sharing, or that I have shared last week. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that clearly the whole morning has been focused on your word. I thank you for Ruth's testimony and Shara's testimony. That is, your word is what makes us successful, victorious, righteous, and able to make it through the next moment of this day. God, I pray that your spirit would have opportunity to minister to our spirits, that not one person you brought here this morning would leave this place unmarked or unchanged. And for this, we give you the praise in advance. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, for the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at God's Word. I don't know that I shared the titles, but do you remember 2 weeks ago? We must believe God's Word. And that came off the tales of VBS. So everything we're learning today is thanks to a curriculum we found 3 years ago. Well done, good and faithful servant. We also, let's see, what did we talk? Oh, yeah, and then last week, might as well ask, what did we need to determine about God's Word? I don't want to say, what did we learn, like we have to know God's Word, because that was the title. First title was God's Word, believe it. Last week was God's Word, know it. This week is God's Word, trust it. We need to trust God's Word. Do you trust God's Word is faithful? Do you believe it is true? Do you think it's profitable? Do you think it's sharper than a two-edged sword? Or is it just a book? The God who spoke to reveal himself and his ways in this book promised a Savior. And he made good on that promise through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we commit our lives to Christ in repentance and faith for our salvation, we also submit to God's Word and the authority that it holds. Next week, maybe the next week, we're going to look at commitment and submitting. Because there's a difference, and I think when we recognize it, we're going to see some of our things we need to get past. The world we live in should see our trust in God and His Word. They should see it. When we acknowledge that God's Word is from Him. Look, God said it, and I believe it. It's that simple. It's when we allow God's Word to change us, to transform us. Now, I wish that people I grew up with when I was 10 through 17, could see me today. I mean, me preaching God's Word. That's just nuts. I mean, I'm the guy in the leather, the jeans, the engineer boots, loud exhaust on the vehicle I drove. Not a servant of the God. God will use anybody. God should see that we serve in His mission as He equips us to live out His calling. I can't stand here in my own strength. The fact, I'm not even going there. I want to look at the testimonies of the people from God's Word. I mean, I have my own testimony. But these are written so that you may believe. Well, that's a catchy tune there. We get a glimpse of what this might look like. Someone all in, serving God. When we look at a major event that took place in the life of Stephen. So if you have your Bible or your phone, Acts chapter 6. In this chapter, we see the fruit of the Word of God in Stephen's life. I mean, clearly, he believed God's Word. And we also see that he allowed God's Word to change him. And absolutely, he was acquainted with God's Word, and he proclaimed it boldly. Are you familiar with Stephen? Like last week, we looked at more familiar people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're willing to walk through fire with God. We saw how Daniel was protected from the lions, and Peter showed the power of God walking on the water. That was last week's sermon. But today, we're going to look at what Stephen was going through. Thank you. Take time to read these passages from Acts 6 and 7 for yourself, because I'm just going to hit on the highlights of the verses that spoke to me. You know, it may not even make sense because they're random thoughts. But what I want to get across here is when Stephen is speaking, he's not reading from a script. He's just talking from his heart. And I cannot believe the message he proclaimed. In Acts chapter 6 at verse 5, we find that he was one of seven chosen to handle a situation that had come up in church. And at verse 5, I think your Bible would say he was a man full of faith and good. So we are on the right verse. Just checking to see if you're following along. As we read on, we see that the Word of God spread. Verse 8 tells us, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue. But they could not stand up against the wisdom and the Spirit. Could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to stir up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen, brought him before the Sanhedrin, saying they had heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Verse 15 got my attention. I touched on this at the opening of my delivery. Verse 15, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Followers of Christ look different. Do you look different? Or do you have black leather, blue jeans, engineer boots on, and people would think, I mean, the testimony is after church we would go out to dinner, my friends and I, dressed like hoodlums. Good Christ-following Christians. We would go into a restaurant and people would move to another table because we look like we just... All right, so even with all this, the fact that they had seized Stephen, they brought him before the Sanhedrin, they produced false witnesses and testified this fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against his law. Stephen looked different. The man was framed, but he was still focused on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit that was in him. We can only imagine what was going through his mind. And after studying chapter 7, I will tell you, I think what was going through his thoughts was what he was going to say in the delivery of his speech just before the stoning. You know, this man was stoned. You know, you pick up a baseball, that's about the size rock, and they stoned him to not life, to death. This isn't some story. Some guy loved God at all costs, willing to give his life, and died probably a pretty vicious death. In chapter 7, at verses 1 through 3, you know, you just turn the page or scroll or however you get it up. We read, "Then the high priest asked Stephen," this is chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, "Are these charges true?" To this he replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you." Now you have to understand at verse 3, Stephen is speaking from Genesis 12:1, word for word. Pretty cool. First book of the Bible, New Testament. Verses 6 and 7 come from Genesis 15, 13, and 14. I mean, if you want to do the math later this afternoon, it's really cool. Blows me away. He starts out saying in verse 13, God spoke to him in this way. "For 400 years," this is right from Genesis 15, "400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. And will be enslaved and mistreated, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves. God said, and afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place." Then, in his mind, remember, he's not reading. He's speaking from his heart. In his mind, he goes to the scroll of Exodus 1, 7, and 8. Crazy, isn't it, how God's Word works? This is what he says. "As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt had greatly increased. Then a new king, whom Joseph meant nothing to, came to power in Egypt." And I'll tell you, he was treacherous when you read for yourself. I mean, read the whole account. I'm just taking bites. Drop down to verses 27 and 28. Stephen quotes from Exodus 2:14. Verbatim. "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" All throughout this speech, he is reciting scripture he has hidden in his heart. He was standing on the Word of God because he knew where he stood. I hold verse 33 of chapter 7 pretty close to my heart, and if you take the time to read it sometime, you may see how and why I do what I do. Interesting. After sharing these truths from God's Word at verse 51 through 53, he got right up in their face. I love this part. God's Word is exciting. This is the part. I love it. Just listen. "You stiff-necked people, your hearts, your ears are still uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." There's an exclamation point there in my Bible. "Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one." That's Jesus. And then he goes on to say, "And now you've betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not believed it. You hold this stuff in your hand. Do you believe it?" You got to remember, Stephen's just speaking from his heart here. He's not reading the book. He's just proclaiming truth. I think this got their attention. I mean, picture this sight with me as I read verses 54 and following. You might not be able to follow along because I'll probably be animated. Maybe not. Verse 54, "When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious. They gnashed their teeth at him." Picture it. Put yourself in the position here. But Stephen. full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at his right hand." I mean, immediately as I read that, that song from VBS came to my mind. Look to the left. Do you see it? Look to the right. Do you see it? There it is. There it is. God's Word. Hide it in your heart. It's open to Psalm 119. Thank you, Rich, for reading those powerful words. You know, the only difference for Stephen would have been, "Look up! Look up! Do you see it?" Do you see it? Do you get it? This book changes lives. Leave it on the table. Why would I do that? Well, because there's one in the world who doesn't want you in the book. Because you'll change. Yeah, I love this, Shara, when you said, "I'm already forgiven for not knowing I was supposed to be up here to pray." Do you realize that when you do whatever it is that makes you feel bad and you carry that around, Satan wins? We are pawns in his game board. Everything we do is not to hurt us or someone else. It's to hurt God. When I sin, I sin against my family, I sin against my boss, I sin against my wife, but more than that, I sin against God. And we get that as our focus. Holy smokes, we can stay on a short and narrow. Straight and narrow, not the short, it's grand. Renew your mind. Verse 57. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, "Ah!" They dragged him out and they stoned him. Okay, maybe I got a little crazy. That is how they did it. Put yourself in the place when you read God's Word and all of a sudden it's not pages and ink. It's like the best movie you ever pay $7 or $14 to watch. Throughout all the things we read here in chapter 7, we find in verse 59, Stephen is still, what? A man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. Picture this. And he clearly finished this life on the planet well. Put yourself in his shoes. You're being stoned. We read, at verse 59. While they're still stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he falls to his knees. He prays, "Forgive them for this sin." Is that what you're going to do? Somebody like just hammers you for saying Jesus really loud in a public place? Are you willing to die for Jesus? Here's the question. It's a little easier. Are you willing to live for him? I don't know. Do not hold this sin against them. You know, for the past couple of weeks, we've been touching on some of the verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think we should read all 17 of them today. You don't have to turn there. I just want you to hear what we've been touching on. To just take one or two verses doesn't do the chapter justice. Read the whole letter Paul wrote to Timothy. It's just three or four chapters. But when you take the whole context, the same with chapter 6 and 7 in Acts. Read the whole thing. I'm leading you to good food. It's good for the soul. I don't know who said it, but it's a great sentence. 2 Timothy chapter 3 highlights some of the things we read from Acts 7 and some of the things from the Old Testament. And it affirms the fact of the importance of getting God's Word into our heart and into our mind. We read in 2 Timothy 3, but mark this, But Mark, but pay attention. Listen to this. Get this. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then here's the instruction, here's the counsel. Have nothing to do with such people. Good counsel. And then here's the description of what they look like. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, I love that. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, get this, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, there it is again, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, the book you hold in your hand or the app you have up on your phone offers good counsel. I know this to be true because God's Word is eternal. God's Word stands forever, according to Isaiah 40, verse 8. It's true, and I trust it. God does not change, and His Word does not change because it comes from God. This is proven in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. Men wrote it, but God said it. No matter what we experience in life, big, small, positive, negative, the truth is we have no shortage of counsel available to us. This is what I mean. Pull up the computer. You can get any answer you want to hear. Turn on the TV. TV hosts earn millions of dollars to entertain you with their counsel. Friends and family members are quick to give their perspective on how to handle or treat any situation or event you're going through. The question to ask is it good advice? Is it what you want to hear? Or will it be to our benefit or detriment if we take it for truth? There's no doubt in my mind we can trust God's word to affect our lives for the good. It can't not make us good. Double negative? Just to see if you're listening. Can't not. No way. But how can we hear what he says to us or what he has said if we're not in the word? Twice a week listening to me or any evangelist is not enough. 20 minutes a day or whatever a sermon might be today, could be 2 hours for all I know, is not enough. You, child of God, baby or whatever, well-seasoned, need to be in the Word every day. We talked about it last week. You begin with milk and you move on to good food. Paul says that God's Word is not only trustworthy and true, but it's also profitable. There are some benefits. So what's the profit that God's Word offers? Right out the gate, you get to meet and know God. And as if that isn't enough, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in the way of righteousness to those who read it. In other words, it lets us know what's right in the eyes of the Lord and wrong. It leads us to the path we should be on, and it keeps us there. You're putting this in your brain instead of whatever else you seem to choose to like to put in your brain. You're going to win. You'll be victorious. You'll be successful. We're not to just read part of the Word of God. Though I suppose there is some profit in just reading some of it. It's certainly more than not reading any of it, right? But when we read it as a whole, it becomes profitable to live a successful life and finish well. Too often, I think we tend to focus on the parts of Scripture that are familiar to us or we're comfortable with, but don't go between the stuff, joint and marrow. Like, I don't want to hear the truth, but it's just the good stuff. My hope is that what we've read this morning would compel us to give ourselves to studying the whole of God's Word, not just in part, but the whole. That should be a hymn. It should be a hymn, right? Knowing that God will use what we read to teach or correct us as necessary. It's good to be corrected. Any parent that loves his child is going to be, well, will suggest strongly. And God's not opposed to doing that. He's got a big stick. And he knows how to use it. It is God's Word that is working in us through the power of the Holy Spirit through his written Word. I have a suggestion. Take this one to the bank. Leave it on the table. Your life will be fine. You can do it. Is a lie from Satan. And I suppose God just said, get thee behind me, Satan, to me, when I said that. Because that truth couldn't be further, closer to a lie. We need to hide God's word in our heart so that this thing is written so we can be molded and shaped into the image of his Son. I want people to see Jesus in me, and I believe Jesus was a nut. He was pushing tables over. He got up in people's faces. He was doing a new thing. Is God's Word affecting your life? I like to say infecting, but is it affecting your life? Do you read the Word of God simply for information? Or do you read God's Word for, listen, life transformation? I was black leather, blue jeans, engineer boots, ugly looking, scary guy. Now I look like an idiot. But I love the Lord. At all costs, I will serve Him. Thank you. It is the Word of God that equips the people of God to do the work of God. So, are you reading God's Word just to teach you from it? Or are you reading God's Word to equip you by it? I'm leading you to good food. I'm trying to equip you. God's trying to equip you through me. That's ridiculous. God uses anybody. Anybody. Just random people that drive by. He'll use mightily. Thanks for being available. So may this psalm be your prayer today, and maybe your prayer every time before you read God's Word. Here's the psalm. Be good to me, your servant, that I might live and obey your Word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instruction. I'm only a foreigner in the land. Don't hide your commands from me. I'm always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations. You rebuke the arrogant. Those who wander from your commands are cursed. Don't let them scorn and insult me, for I have obeyed your laws. Even princes sit and speak against me, but I will meditate on your decrees. That's the last sentence of Psalm. What's the verses, Rich? 17 to 25. So, verse 24 says, last week, I will not neglect your word. And this week, the last sentence is, they give me wise advice. Read Psalm 119 for yourself, because I'm going to ask randomly each one of you to participate in reading 8 verses from God's Word. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would create in us a desire to know your word, to believe your word, to trust your word, to submit to your word, so that we would be able to effectively serve you today, tomorrow, and until you come again or call us home. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.